I want to expand a little bit on a topic that we spoke about a few weeks ago, that now we have the other side of the coin. In Parshas Nasa, we spoke about Shalom. And we said that Shalom is not peace, quiet, serenity, but harmony. Shalom means shlemus, perfection. And perfection in this world is only the team effort of many, many things working together, because no one thing in this world is perfect except God. And the Rabban Hashem created many, many different things, and they're supposed to work together towards perfection under His, and that brings out the unity of God, that everything works towards one common purpose, contributing its unique part. That's what Shalom is. So this week's Seder is the other side of the coin. Machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. There is machlokes l'shem shamayim. You can have arguments that are for the sake of heaven and are positive, and there are arguments that are negative that are not for the sake of heaven. First of all, why l'shem shamayim? Because shamayim itself represents this idea. What's shamayim? Shamayim is eish umayim. Shamayim is fire and water working together. Oh, wow. Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Hi. Haven't seen you in a while. So, I'm always impressed when people who know me show up here. Yeah, people don't know me, so they come because they don't know what to expect. But people know what to expect. Why'd you come? So Shamayim is Eish and Mayim. For those who don't know, these are the Libras. And they used to be congregants of mine a few years ago in Miami. And their daughter and son-in-law live here in Modi'in. In Chashmonaim. Your husband has a practice in Modi'in, yeah? His practice is in Modi'in?
He does.
Okay. You have the feeling that you're spoken about when you're not here. Okay.
Your voice is a little
different
when you're
back here. Right, yeah. Baruch Hashem. Shamayim is made of fire and water, Eish and Mayim working together. That's the epitome of what harmony is. Two opposites that can work together and bring what's it called, something that is heavenly. So when there is harmony in the world, there's shalom, then there's heaven. And when there's no harmony, when everybody is working for themselves against each other, then there's Gehenim, and that's what happened to Korach. He went to Gehenim alive, because you create a living Gehenim in this world, the opposite of Shamayim. So therefore, the Sedra starts out, Vayikach Korach. Now, it doesn't say, if you look at the continuation, it doesn't say what he took. It says, Korach, and Dasan, and Aviram, and what did they take? So there are many different interpretations, but Rashi says, Vayikach Korach, he took himself off to the side to argue on Moshe, meaning he wasn't part of the team, wasn't part of this harmony, but he felt every man for himself. Every person has to do their own thing, and it's not a question of working together in harmony, in peace, but everybody can do what they have to do, and everybody can duplicate what everybody else is doing. And therefore he wasn't happy that Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, and that he should have his part in this world. He wanted Aaron's part too. When you don't realize that everybody has to work together as a team, then you want to do everything, even if it duplicates what somebody else is already doing. So that's what Korach represents. So I was thinking, Chazal darshan the name of Korach for the bad. Person's name represents everything about him, and it's parav. If you use your free choice for the good, then your name has a good connotation. If you use it for the bad, then the name has a bad connotation. So I want to put in my two cents. of how the names of Korach and his ancestors that are mentioned in the Torah represent the evils or the reasons for machlokas. And before I do that, just want to mention this concept of machlokas, of argument. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that there's machlokas l'shem shamayim, and that sofa l'hiskayim, in the end it will persevere, which on the surface seems difficult. You don't want arguments to persevere. You want them to be solved. So machlokas l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hiskayim. And machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim, ain't sofa l'hiskayim. It would seem that the opposite should be true. The machlokas l'shem shamayim, in the end, will not continue. It'll end, finished. And a machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim will never end. But the Mishnah says just the opposite. What it means is the following. Machlokas l'shem shamayim is like Hillel and Shammai. They argued because they wanted to come to the truth. They weren't arguing against each other. They were arguing with each other. Meaning, they both have the same goal. We want the truth. It doesn't make a difference if I'm right or you're right. I just want to know what's right. I'll argue it out with you till the end, until either you convince me or I'll convince you. But in the end, if you turn out to be right, I'll be just as happy as if I turn out to be right, because I'm not interested in winning. I'm interested in what is the truth. And if you can convince me that your side is the truth, I'm just as happy with that as if my side would be the truth. That's called an argument, not against each other, but with each other. They're arguing together for the same goal. Therefore, in the end, both will exist and persevere. They both will get what they wanted, the truth. But machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim is where people are arguing against each other. And the main goal is, I want to win. And only one can win. So in the end, the machlokas will not be able to persevere. One person will win and one will lose. And the argument has to stop. But it won't be that the result will be something that satisfies both. It'll only satisfy one. When you argue against, you use your unique part separate from everybody else. When you argue with, it's part of a team. Then you're using your unique part together with somebody else's unique part to come out with what is true. You can use the fire and the water and you'll end up with Shamayim. You'll end up with this compound that utilizes both. So what brings people to not want to be part of the team? This world is a team effort, right? You can't be alone. You have to be part of the cloud. And to what extent? The Rambam says that someone could have no averus, only mitzvahs, tzaddik, and not have a share in the world to come. How so, says the Rambam? If he's poresh midarchei tzibur, he separates himself from the community, totally. In other words, he's not interested in being part of Klal Yisrael. He'll keep mitzvahs, he'll do everything he has to do, but he doesn't want to be part of the Klal. I had a convert once, a woman, who told me, this is after she converted. She said, I have a big problem. I love Judaism. I can't stand Jews. I told her, you know, it's a package deal, right? It is a problem. You can't have Judaism without Jews. It's part of the package. The idea being the following. It says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. All Jews have a share in the world to come. That's not true. Because that same Mishnah ends off, the Elu She'en Lohem Chelek. And these are the people who don't have a share. So not everybody has a share. What the Mishnah means, according to the Rambam, is Olam Haba is not the property of any individual. It's the property of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, as a Klal, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lohem Chelek Olam Haba. Olam Haba is something that you have if you belong to the club. If you're a card-carrying member of Klal Yisrael, then you share in the corporation that has Olam Haba. If you're not part of the corporation, you don't have Olam Haba. Even Goyim. Goyim can have the world to come. But only if they find their place amongst the Jewish people, not mean they have to convert, but means that they accept the fact that they were given seven mitzvahs, but their seven mitzvahs were given to them in the Torah that God gave to the Jewish people, and God spoke to them too in that Torah and told them their seven mitzvahs. And if they keep their seven mitzvahs in that context, they have a share in the world to come. Because then they're also part of that klal. They're not Jews, but they're part of the greater authority of the Torah. So somebody, the Rambam says, who separates himself from the Jewish people, he can do that either ideologically and not believe in one of the 13 principles of faith, and then he loses his share in the world to come. Or he can physically detach himself from the Jewish people, keep everything, but not have a connection to the Jewish people, lose his share in the world to come. What promotes a person not wanting to be part of the klal? So I think the names of Korach hint to it, and then we'll see there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that elaborates on it. What's the names of Korach? The first thing is Korach is Kereach. Kereach means bald. Bald meaning the following. One reason people don't want to contribute, to be part of the klal, is because they don't appreciate who they are. They don't have no self-esteem, no feeling of self-worth. They feel themselves bald, totally bereft of anything that they could contribute. So how can I be part of the klal? I have nothing to contribute. I'm a nobody. So sometimes because of false modesty, people don't join in the team because they feel they have nothing to offer. That's one possibility. Then there's the opposite. Yitzar. Yitzar means oil. Oil always rises to the surface of other liquids. Some people feel that they can't be part of the community because they're too big for the community. They look down on everybody else. Why would I want to have anything to do with these measly peasants, right? I'm up there somewhere, and these people are beneath me, so I don't want to have anything to do with them. That's Yitzar. Then there's Kahas. The word Kahas has a connection to the word Kihui. Kihui means acidic, not chassidic, acidic. Acidic, something that is pungent. Okay, sharp is something with kihui. Like vinegar is acidic and pungent. That represents the following bad mida. People who are negative. Negative people. Critical people. Nothing is ever good. This one's no good, and that one's no good, and this is never... They always know how to criticize, but they never know how to do anything positive. They know how to tell you how everybody else does things wrong, but they can't add anything right. All they can do is criticize. People like that can't be part of a community, because they're too critical. Nothing anybody does or anything anybody is ever any good. So that's Kahas. And then there's Levi. Levi means an escort. That's how he got his name. Pam Yalova Ishti, my husband will escort me. There are people who don't contribute to the community because they're lazy. And they want to get a free ride on somebody else's work. They don't want to do anything. They want somebody else to do it for them. And then they'll benefit from what other people do. They're the Levium. They're the escorts. They're not the people who want to do it on their own. So those are four reasons, I think, that are hinted in the names of Korach, right, and his ancestors, to why people, Taka, want to do it on their own and don't want to be part of a community. It's interesting, just as an aside before we get to the Mishnah, it says that it traces Korach back to Levi, but not to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov davened, and he said, I don't want to be mentioned in the context of an argument like this, if it ever comes out from my descendants, bad things, don't mention me as part of their lineage. Now, that's very nice, but it's not a secret, right? Everybody knows who Levi's father was. What does it help if the Torah doesn't mention it? But the idea is, I think, the following. Whenever the Torah mentions someone did something, and it mentions his father, his grandfather, it means that there was something that he inherited from his father or his grandfather that he may have abused or utilized in the wrong way. Or that they had that negative trait and it passed on to him and he used it the way they used it. But it's not necessarily. Could be that Yitzhar and Kahas and Levi all used their qualities for the good. Korach abused it. Distorted it. Or, by them, it was latent. It never came out, but it was there. It was there potentially, and it came out in Korach. Yaakov Avinu said, there's nothing in me that Korach used to make his machlokas. Yaakov was the epitome of shalom. He united the Jewish people, the 12 tribes, all the rocks united for him. Yaakov Avinu was the epitome of harmony and unity. Nothing that he had was in Korach that Korach utilized to do what he did. That's what Yaakov said. Don't mention my name. When the Torah doesn't mention the name, it shows that what Korach did had no connection at all to his fact that he was a descendant of Yaakov. It had things from Levi, from Kehas, from Yitzhar, not from Yaakov Avinu. Okay. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that gives a little bit more understanding of why people don't want to be part of the community. And that's the following. The Mishnah says, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. Hillel says, don't separate yourself from the community. V'al Tovnes Chavercha Shetagia L'mkomo. And V'al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Moscha. Don't trust in yourself until you die. As long as you're alive, know that you could change for the bad. And don't judge your friend till you come to his place. Don't say on something that can't be heard that in the end it'll be heard. The simple meaning of that means don't say on something, nobody's going to hear about this, and therefore I'm going to say it, because in the end people will hear. Birds, you know, what's it called, will bring it. The walls have ears. That's. And the last thing is, Al Tomer, don't say when I have time, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. Take advantage now. They're all very nice things. What do they have to do with each other? Hillel said basically five things, very nice things, but they have no connection to each other. Therefore, I want to say that you have to learn the Mishnah differently. Hillel said one thing, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. Don't separate yourself from the community. And then he gave four answers to excuses that people use why they do separate from the community. First reason why people separate from the community is because they trust in themselves too much. And they say the following, I don't need a community. I don't need peer support. I can do it on my own. Communities are meant for weak people who need other people to help support them morally, spiritually, whatever. I don't need that. I'm strong on my own. To that, Hillel said, everybody needs peer pressure. Everybody needs a support system. Nobody can do it on their own. Don't trust in yourself until you die. So that's not an excuse. Don't think you don't need a community. Everybody needs a community. Second reason. People don't want to be part of a community because they say, I would love to be part of a community, but not this one. These people are terrible people. Why would I want to have anything to do with them? And they only look down and negatively at the people around them. To that, Hillel says, Al Tadin Eschavercha at Shtagilim Koma. Don't judge your neighbor till you come to his place. Which means the following. First of all, understand his circumstances. Don't make judgments without understanding the entire circumstance. All the background. Because maybe it looks worse than it is. If you don't understand the background, you don't understand why what brought a person to do or to act the way that he does. That's a simple meaning. But there's a deeper meaning, and that's the following. Yeah, sometimes people are no good, and you shouldn't have anything to do with them. You should separate yourself from them. Don't make that decision until you see these people close up. Don't make it from afar. Because from afar, you can make mistakes. You can make generalizations. Get to know these people well, and then see if your initial impression was right or wrong. Maybe when you get a closer look, either you'll find out they're worse than you thought, or they're not as bad as you thought. So don't make the judgments from afar. Wait till you come up close. And if at that point you see they're talking not good people, then you're not supposed to have connection with not good people. But sometimes people, you assume they're not good from afar. If you get to know them better, you see they're not so bad. That's the second excuse. Third excuse. People say, I want to have nothing to do with the community because I've given them advice time after time and they don't listen to me. So why should I deal with these idiots? They don't want to listen to good advice. Right? There are plenty of people like that. Right? They're not interested in being part of the community because the community is not interested in listening to good advice. And that Hillel said, Al Tomer, Al Dover, She'ef, She'lishmoa. Don't say on something that's impossible to be heard, meaning it's not right. That in the end they'll see I'm right. No, maybe in their end you're not right. Don't assume that everything you say is right, and if people don't listen to it, it's something wrong with them. Maybe what you said isn't right. Don't say on something that can't be heard that eventually it's going to be heard. Eventually people say I'm right. It's not the case. Maybe eventually you should realize you're not right, and that's why people don't listen to you. Don't assume that every advice you give and everything you say is God's truth. Maybe it's not. So that's the next reason why people use to excuse themselves from the community. People don't listen to me. And therefore, why should I deal with idiots who don't want to listen to good advice? Maybe it's not good advice. And the last thing is, people say, I don't have time for the community. I have my Torah learning to do. I have my mitzvahs to do. I have my family to take care of. I don't have time to waste on the community. So that's Till says, Al tomer lich she'efne eshne. When I'll have the time that I won't put into the community, I'll be able to learn and do other things. No, Shema lo sipane. Do you think God is going to let you benefit from time that you owe the community? Rav Moshe Feinstein says, just like a person has to give miser a tenth of his material possessions, he has to give a tenth of his time to the community too. It's also a possession. So you owe the community some time. And if you try to benefit from the time you owe the community, who said God will let you benefit from it? He'll find other things that you'll have to be busy with, and he won't let you benefit from that time. So don't say, when I have the time, I'll learn, because I won't be involved with the community, I'll have extra time on my hands. Who said God will give you that extra time if you're doing it at the expense of the community at the time that you're supposed to be contributing to the community? There's another mission in Pirkei Avos that has to do with this also. The Mishnah says, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzi mesadim min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and honor take a person out of the world. So there are all different explanations which world is taking him out of. Some people say that these things make a person's life miserable. He doesn't have this world. Some say they make him sin, doesn't have the next world. I think it's something different completely. These three things are motzi nesadim min ha'olam. They make it impossible for a person to be part of the community, part of the world. They make him, they force him to be separate. You can't be part of the world if you're guilty of these three things. Because each of these things prevents you from being a team member. How so? Kina. Kina is jealousy. The Gemara says that a person who's jealous, so it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Rekev atzamos kina. Kina rots your bones. So you can understand that literally, that when you're jealous of somebody, it eats you up alive. But there's a deeper meaning. Kina is something that a person has because he's not happy being himself. He wants to be somebody else. He's jealous of other people, not because he wants what they have, because he's not happy with who he is, and in order to be somebody, I want to be him. That's why in the Aseres HaDibros, I think we once mentioned this, I'll mention it again. It says you shouldn't be jealous, shouldn't covet your neighbor's donkey or his wife or his house. Always bothered me. Coveting is a verb that represents a feeling. How could the Torah group together wanting your neighbor's wife and wanting your neighbor's donkey? It, l'cha'ora, on the surface, is not the same feeling. Because if it is, Either there's something very not good about the wife, or very good about the donkey, or very sick about the guy. How in the world could you have the same feeling for your neighbor's wife and your neighbor's donkey? It can't be the same word. The answer is, it's not that you want the wife for her merits or the donkey for its merits. You want it because you're not happy being you. Kina rots your bones, meaning your essence. Tzomos is your essence. A person who has no self-esteem, no self-worth. I'm nobody. I'm not happy being me. So I want to be somebody else. So I want everything he has. To be him, I have to have his donkey and his wife. It's all the same thing. I don't want it for their purpose. I want it to be him. That's kina. And therefore, kina makes it that I can't contribute to the community because I feel I have nothing to contribute. I want to be him. I have nothing. There's no me. It's like we said, the kereach, the bald, the guy who feels he has nothing to contribute. That's kina. Taiva, it says, l'taiva yavakish nifrad. A person who is a person who has desire, who is a lustful person, wants to be alone. He wants everything for himself. He doesn't want to share the pie with anybody else. Either certain desires that you can't have unless you have other people, right? Obviously, the desires between man and woman can't be unless you have somebody else. You can't even rob a bank. You have a desire for money alone. You need the getaway car. You need the lookout. You need get it together with people. But that's not unity. That's using people. That's not unifying with him. And the proof is that after you get the money in the bank robbery, all the ganovim fight over who's going to end up getting it all. Because they're not really interested in being together with everybody else. They just need to use everybody else till they don't need them anymore. So a person who's about taiva, he's lustful, can't be part of the tzibor because he wants everything for himself. And kovid, if you want all the honor, you can't be part of the team. Right? If you're a shortstop in a baseball team, I think most of you know what I'm talking about. Usually I speak to Israelis, they have no idea what I'm talking about. and I have no idea about soccer, so we have no common language. But if you're a shortstop, and you're not happy getting the kovid for fielding the balls that come your way, but you want to be the kovid, you don't want the first baseman to get the kovid of getting the guy out, so you have to run to first base to tag the guy out, right? It's never going to win a game. You want to catch the balls in the outfield too, because you want to get all the kovid for yourself. You can't be a team person. A team person is willing to share the honor with other people. So all these three things are motzinas ha'adam min ha'olam. They take him out of the world, meaning they take him out of the community. They make him a person who can't exist together with other people. Okay, let's go to... So that is this idea of Korach. It's interesting. Korach came to Moshe with a complaint that talis shekulo treles. If you have a talis that is totally treles, do you need tzitzis? Do you need one strand of treles? And Moshe said yes. Korach said, that's ridiculous. Kol ha'eda kulam kedosh. The whole people are holy. What do you need leaders for? Why do we need a leader? We're all holy. The purpose of leadership is to elevate the people and teach them what's right, to make them holy, and to bring God's presence amongst them, to unify them around God. So you need one central figure, a leader, to unify people around the right things. That's the purpose of a leader. To elevate the people, teach them, right, and to unify them. So Korach said, why do we need you leaders? Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. We're all holy. We don't need anybody to make us holy. And a besoch, and God is amongst us. We already have something that unifies us. What do we need you? There are three aspects to the community. There's what's called the Kahal, there's the Eda, and there's Yisrael. Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. Korach recognized two of the aspects, Kahal and Eda. Kahal is people working together in strength in numbers. We're doing our mitzvahs together. We're davening as a tzibur. That makes something special. For that, you need people to unite people together and to let them do their mitzvahs together. So here we have already a unifier. We have God who unifies us. We don't need you. We're all unified around the Mishkan. God's presence is obvious here. We don't need a person to bring us together to do our mitzvahs as a group instead of as individuals. We do that already. We're all centered around the Mishkan. Then there's an Eda. Eda comes from two possibilities. Either from Edus, testimony. We all testify to the same principles. That unites us. It's not that we're united physically. Kahal means we're a congregation who congregate together in the same place. An Eda can be scattered around. What unites us is our Edus, what we testify to, what we believe in. That unites us. We could be scattered all over the world, but we have a common beliefs. Or it can come from the word Yad. Yad means a destination. We all have the common destination. So we don't need people to give us what that common destination is. We don't need people to elevate us. We're elevated. We're all holy. We all have the right ideas. And we're all united together anyway. So what do we need you and Aaron? Aaron is the Kohen Gadol who's supposed to sanctify us. Moshe is the unifier. We don't need either of you. Moshe said, "Madua tisnasu al kahal Yisrael." There's a third aspect that you're forgetting about Korah, and that's Yisrael. Yisrael means that Yeshishim ribui osios la Torah. Yisrael stands for there are 600,000 letters to the Torah. We explained in the past, every Jew is like a letter in the Torah. Every letter is different. There are no two letters that are the same. The Beis in Bereishis is not the same Beis in Bara, because the Beis in Bereishis has nothing before it and a resh after it. And the Beis in Bara has a word before it and a resh after it. It's a different word. Different parsha. Different column. Everything's different. Every letter, by its position, is a different letter. Every Jew is different. Where he is, when he is in this world, he has a unique part in Klal Yisrael. So it's true. There are certain things that are common to all of us. We all have certain mitzvahs. We can do them together. We all have certain beliefs that unite us. But we all have our individual part in all of this, and for that you need a leader. You need a leader to coordinate like an orchestra leader. Right? Every person in the band may know how to play his instrument tremendously, and they're all there together. They need somebody to coordinate. There should be harmony. Somebody to make sure that one isn't playing too fast or too slow or playing at the wrong time or whatever. That's what you need a leader for. Even if everybody's holy and everybody is congregated in the same place and united, you still need a leader. Just like you need a band leader, an orchestra leader, even though everybody knows how to play their instrument and everybody's sitting together. You still need somebody to coordinate all the different parts. That's what Korach didn't understand. So it's true. You all can be holy. You can have a beggar that's kulo tcheles. You still need that strand to focus it properly. You can have a house that's full of svarim. You still need that mezuzah to focus it properly. It's not enough that everybody's okay and everybody's together. You need somebody to coordinate them. And that coordination is what you need a leader for. That was Korach's mistake.